Hi, this is Zoe Routh, and this is episode 3, How to Be a Change Agent. Kind of like a secret agent, but not. But you can still wear the cool shades.
Welcome to the Zoe Routh Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
Welcome back. I've had an interesting weekend playing chicken doctor. So my little chicken, Dragon, has been unwell for a week, and I finally worked out what was wrong with her. She had something called a sour crop. I didn't even know what a crop was. I had to Google all this stuff. Turns out that chickens don't really have a throat. They just have this tube that goes down to this holding container called the crop. It's kind of like a little reservoir bag. And sometimes if it gets blocked and doesn't process properly, it can get festy and nasty and go sour, basically get an infection. And when that happens, they go pretty badly. However, you can treat it. And this is what I had to do. I had to grab the little chicken and basically squeeze her little pouchy baggy thing called the crop and help her vomit. It was nasty. And it's kind of like milking a bagpipe. So I had to squeeze this thing, help her spew. I didn't even know chickens could throw up. Anyway, did that a few times, and she seems to have come good. There you have it. What's the leadership lesson in that? Well, I figure as a leader, sometimes you have to do the things that no one else wants to do that are good for everyone else but are still pretty gross. That and nothing like a good spew to make you feel better. I don't know how to segue with that one, so we'll just move right on. A couple of announcements for you. I'm into round 2 of book editing with my latest book, Moments. The book launch is coming up soon, December 1st. There will be pre-order available of the books shortly, so we'll let you know when that comes up. The next thing is I've been working hard on my big event for next year called The Edge of Leadership. I'm so excited about this. We're going to focus on the big question: how are businesses going to be relevant and manage the onslaught of change over the next 5 years or so? It's one of the big concerns for many businesses about how they're going to cope with all the changes that are out there. Well, I reckon you need 3 things in order for a business to be successful, relevant, viable through that. Now, 3 things you need are strategic leadership thinking, so the capacity to look at trends, map how they affect you, and then make interventions with that. You need an interactive and connected network, so a vibrant web of people with whom you can build relationships and business with. And thirdly, and this is not often or at all talked about, you need a social agenda. And I think the businesses that are really going to set themselves apart and be able to sustain themselves through difficult times are those who have a very clear social agenda and incorporate that into their business activities and business focus. So we are doing all this reflection and engagement and fun at an unconference. What is an unconference, I hear you asking? Well, an unconference is a not a conference where they typically blast you with hundreds and hundreds of, well, feels like hundreds and hundreds of speakers, one after the other, so your brain is fit to explode by the end of the day. No, we're going to have a select group of speakers, and then we're going to have facilitated roundtable discussions where you can have intimate conversations with business leaders and explore what the thinking, the leadership thinking, and the social agenda context might mean for you. It's all happening Tuesday, March 28th of 2017. Whew, doesn't that sound like very futuristic? It sounds like decades away, but no, it's coming up soon. In any case, sign up for my newsletter at zoerouth.com, and we'll make sure that you get all the advance notices and special offers when it comes to the conference and the book launch. All right. Couple things. What I'm reading. Reading a great book by my colleague Simon Dowling called Work With Me. And it's all about how to build buy-in when you're working on projects. It's fabulous. He's funny as they say in Australia. Funny as what? I never understood that about expressions. Funny as. And when I heard somebody say that, I thought, funny as what? Fill in the blank. But it's just an expression. It means very funny. So he's very funny, and the book is awesome. I'll put a link in the show notes at zoerouth.com/podcast/3. And the other really gritty book is by Daniel Kahneman, who won the Nobel Prize, I think, for literature around this, called Thinking Fast and Slow. And it looks at how our default thinking, our shortcut thinking, can actually get us into trouble. And it's to do with cognitive bias. And it's quite a detailed, well-researched book. It's worth reading, especially if you are wanting to be a leader, to be aware of all of the shortcuts you're making that may not be so helpful. So in thinking about today's podcast and the theme of being a change agent, and I always thought that song, Secret Agent Man, Secret Agent Man, that's about as much singing you're going to get from me today or ever probably. Anyway, that song always popped up. And aside from the song that pops up, I have many questions around this whole idea of change. And one of the ones that was coming up for me as I listened to a lot of the local ACT government spiel and dialogue about what people want to change and so on. And one of the questions that comes up in local politics is about affordable housing. It's probably common across many, many different cities around the globe. Housing is not very affordable. How can we make housing affordable? And as I was driving around, I thought about this question. What if we flipped it? What if we posed a different question? Instead of how can we make housing affordable, what if we asked how can we help people afford houses? Quite a profound question, I thought. And it made me think how we pose the question affects the intervention we focus on. Whether it's focusing on affordability of houses or helping people become more affluent so they can afford houses, both those questions require agents of change. Now, an agent of change is somebody who spearheads change. All of my clients are agents of change. Every person I work with wants to improve something, to add to their business, their community, or in the environment. And to that regard, I believe that we are all actually agents of change. We all, in our day-to-day lives and work, want to improve things, right? We don't just go to work and go through our lives just to do same old, same old. At least I don't think so. So when we think about how do I want to improve things, sometimes the bigger questions of my clients come up are around, am I making a big enough difference? Am I making a big enough change? And really there's this nagging undercurrent of, will I finish my life feeling like I've led a well-lived life? Have I made a big enough difference? Did I really fulfill my potential? I know it's kind of big and deep for today's podcast, and yet that question, I think, simmers for most of us. And it centers around the idea of legacy and purpose, and related to that, how happy we are. And I believe if we have a clear sense of purpose and a clear sense of how we want to make a difference, and that we become agents of change, that sense of fulfillment through contribution to making a difference really lights us up and helps other people. So an example of one of my clients who is struggling with this is Tom, not his real name. He runs a successful multi-million. I think he wishes it was multi-billion, but it's multi-million. Actually, multi-billion just raises a whole bunch more headaches. So he's happy with multi-million. Multi-million dollar enterprise in the agribusiness sector. And he's been doing this for 15 years, and he's very successful. He's been an employer for all this time, and his business has helped other businesses be successful in their own right. So he knows that he's a catalyst for positive change. And yet there's this itch of, is this enough? Is it being successful in business enough? Could I do more with my life? And he's in the middle of exploring that. And I think that's why there's such an attraction to motivational speakers, because they show us what's possible. And sometimes I think those motivational speakers, as I mentioned previously, can be a little bit demotivating, because part of us goes, I'm so lame compared to them. So last week I mentioned Peter Baines, the remarkable dude who set up Hands Across the Water. I think another remarkable woman is Turiya Pitt, who was burned in the 2004 bushfires while running an ultramarathon out of Alice Springs. Just a horrendous story. Her book, Everything to Live For, is quite remarkable, written 2 years just after the accident and several hundred surgeries later. She was burnt to 65% of her body. So what does she do? Does she wallow in self-pity? Well, at times, yes. And at times, no. I mean, she just completed her first Ironman. Yeah. So I guess 2004, it's 12 years since the accident, and she's gone on to reconstruct her life, her sense of identity, and her sense of purpose. And in all the things that she's done, she's now a public speaker. That's what she does. She travels around the world speaking on her experience, inspiring others to get over themselves and be courageous. And she also has a charity that she contributes to called Interplast, which offers free reconstructive surgery for people who have been affected by burns in developing countries. Yeah, amazeballs, right? So she's had her whole face and body completely torn apart by fire, and yet she has the nous to think of others, and I think that's quite remarkable. So what is it about these types of people, the Peter Baines, the Taria Pitts, these larger-than-life figures who have overcome so much, created such a massive difference in the world, what is it that we can learn from these titans? Well, this is what I've figured out. To be an agent of change, whether you set up a massive charity or not, or whether you just focus on being an agent of positive change in your own sphere of personal and professional world, first thing you need is a need. Sounds obvious, and yet do we actually think about this? If we're thinking the bigger question, how can I make a bigger difference? You focus that question around the need. We need to see a need for improvement somewhere. And it could be a social need. It could be something like homelessness, dealing with abandoned animals. It could be helping victims of domestic violence. It could be folks around climate change. And around this idea of needs, The other important aspect, I believe, is that you need to have your own needs met first. It's very difficult to think about making a social change, a positive social change or workplace change, if we're in survival mode. So I think we really need to get that sorted out first. So look after yourself. The whole get your own oxygen mask on your face first before you help others is in line. So we don't want martyrs to the cause, because martyrs end up, yeah, dead. Not helpful. So get yourself sorted out first. The other interesting twist to this whole idea of need, though, is that sometimes in focusing on serving others, we get our own needs met. And last week at Men's Link evening event, Men's Link is a local charity that supports young men through free mentoring. And the guest speaker was Lachlan Searle, who has been in the professional world of sports for 15 years. And he was telling his story about 2 years ago. He was 38. He was married with two little babies. I think their age, like 14 months and a baby still. His wife became ill with a staph infection in hospital. I think that was right, in a staphylococcus or something like that. And she passed away. Horrendous story. So she dies really young, leaves her longstanding partner of 18 years to be a sole father. And in his grief, he set up a charity called For My Babies. And this charity is all about helping provide counseling support to people who are struggling with infertility, because he and his wife had difficulties and had to do infertility intervention also. It's like, wow, how can you do that? You just become a single parent. You've lost the love of your life, and you set up a charity. And I believe that sometimes if we can spin our focus onto helping others, it helps us to heal. So that compassion for others can help shift our pain. So that's another way we can have our own needs met, through a giving service or through being an agent of change. So need is the very first thing we need. The second thing we need is a network. Dun, 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 dun. It's very hard to be an agent of change if we are doing it solo in the dark of night and no one sees us or hears us. Very difficult. It's interesting, you know, because Gandhi said, be the change you wish to see in the world. And everybody goes, yeah, man, deep. And yet it only goes so far. What Gandhi meant means live your values, show up authentically, behave in the way that you wish others to behave. And yes, tick, very important. We need to do that. And yet it doesn't necessarily drive change. We can ride the wave of change by being authentic. However, we can't be wave makers by just being the change. We actually need to drive it. So a network of connected people, engaged people who care about the same things you do, is really important. So connection helps build cause. And the more people you have that you can touch and engage with and discuss ideas with, the more likelihood you're going to be able to build support and buy-in hat tip to Simon Dowling there, and energy around the change that you wish to drive. So network is pretty key. And the third thing that you need is meaning. What? What does that mean? Well, this is really the spark that gets things rolling. So you can have a need that you identify, and you can have a network of people. But unless you have this something meaningful that spurs you to take action, it's kind of like you have firewood and you have the intention to build a fire, but nothing happens. So meaning is the spark, and meaning is the something that touches your soul. Whether it's something you've experienced deeply or felt deeply, and it calls us to action. So for Taria, it was her suffering as a burns victim and trying to reconstruct her life that led her to think, you know what? Other people need this help, and people in developing worlds get no help, so I'm going to put my hand to that. And so she did. So meaning is the part that spurs us, and that's where we need to dig a little bit deep and open ourselves up to what's deeply powerful to us. And that's why I think we actually cycles back to need again, why we need to have our own needs met. Because if our own needs are met, like if we're struggling, it's very difficult to find meaning. It's through overcoming or getting our own needs met, we can tell a story about how we can do that for others. So meaning is pretty important. So let's look at the little formula that comes out as a result of this. When you have meaning, something that calls your soul forward, and there's a need in the social world or in your professional world, all of a sudden you have a cause. And this makes me think about Simon Sinek and his fabulous TED Talks and his book, Start With Why. And in his TED Talk, he repeats it over and over, and I think it really resonates. People don't care what you do, they care why you do it. So when you have meaning, something deeply personal, and it's reflected in a need in the social and workplace environment, then you have a cause, and people will gather behind you behind that. And so the next secret recipe is when you have meaning and you combine it with a strong network, what happens, something really amazing happens. You have an identity emerge for yourself. And this identity is you as a leader, as a change agent. Secret agent man, secret agent man. Yeah. So you can start wearing dark sunnies, sunglasses, and looking cool. Yeah, because that's all you need really for it to be a change agent, not. So you start to see yourself as a leader, and this identity sort of grafts onto you naturally. And if the title leader frightens you, I love what one of my former participants on the Australian Rural Leadership Program, her name's Brooke Summers, and she said this about leadership and leaders. She said, I don't like that title. I don't like the title of leader. And she goes, it's got so much weight and context behind it. She says, I believe that a leader is just doing the best you can with what you have. And I thought that was really powerful and profound and beautiful. And I think that's totally true. The purpose you find in your agenda is the purpose that shows up as an authentic piece and helps you do the best that you can with what you have. And it's not an ego thing. So the idea of becoming a leader is not about ego. It's really about the purpose piece that comes forward. And you find yourself naturally taking action because it's the thing that needs to be done. Here's the third magic recipe. When you have a well-connected network and it's matched with a need that all of you galvanize around, all of a sudden you have a tribe. And you can read Seth Godin's book on tribes. It's brilliant. And basically what this says as a tribe is it feeds our need to be connected. We are hardwired to connect. It's part of our survival DNA since we dwelled in caves to be part of a tribe, to feel that sense of safety and security. And it's also how the best things get done. The more people we have in our connected tribe, the more capacity and momentum we have to actually drive change. So for me, my need, the need that I see out there in the world is around redefining masculinity. And why do I see this as a need? Well, I see a lot of young men growing up and trying to find a way to become a man. This past weekend, we went to the Eastlake Footy Club for the end of year awards. And there was different divisions of people who play footy, football, Aussie rules football, amazing game. And these young men get up at various times to give speeches. And I thought about these guys. How do they figure out how to be men? And some of them have great role models in their fathers. There was this fabulous little interaction where one of the gentlemen, who was actually a coach for one of the teams, who'd been playing football for years, he'd probably played 300 games, and he gave a little speech because he was leaving the club and moving to Queensland. And he said, one of his parts of his speech, yes, he thanked all the players in the club and so on. He goes, and my dad, he said, I've played nearly 300 games, and my dad might have missed a handful of them. And he wanted to thank his dad for all the support. And he said, Dad, I love you. And then I'm getting all choked up on this because they all got choked up. Dad's got choked up and the son got choked up. And the dad came over, rushed out from his seat and gave his son a big, warm bear hug. That you hardly ever see in Australia. And I thought, wow, this is a beautiful model for masculinity, how to be strong. And these guys were big, strapping football players, right? Broad shoulders, tough as nails. And here he was showing genuine affection and appreciation and gratitude for his father. And like, getting choked up again. And likewise for the father and his son. And I swear, there wasn't much of a dry eye in the crowd, really. And I love this beautiful scene because it showed what was possible for masculinity and for all the young men watching that, you know, you could be tough as nails and determined, and yet you could be generous and warm-hearted and open with your feelings. You could be real with your feelings. Beautiful. Not enough of that exists out there for young men. And so they're trying to find their way and have models instead of people teasing them, or you have all the disgusting interactions or examples from people like Donald Trump who have way too much celebrity attached to their cockiness and their arrogance and their disregard for women as an example. Or you have all sorts of poor examples that are highly publicized. And I think this is one of the fundamental things we need, not just for men, but for all of humanity. We need to get past this whole sense of duality in the genders and get to more of a cohesive sense of humanity. And one of the ways we need to do that is actually to help men find their way. And since men have been told to make room for women, importantly so, who they are and how they show up has been under fire and under question, and there's no new identity that's really out there and easy and helpful for men to find their way through. And a lot of them are trying to do the best they can and fumbling their way through. So this is the need that I see. The network that I'm building is a community of business leaders, and I'm doing this through various platforms, and you can think about these too, through blogging, podcasting, YouTube videos, local events, and of course, my big unconference event next week. And the vehicle I'm doing this through, initially anyway, is to support Men's Link, this local business charity that offers mentoring support for young fellas. The meaning in all this cycles back to the need I already mentioned a little bit, and this need to end duality, sort of male versus female or oppositional thinking in general, and to start thinking more holistically that we're all in this together. And when we do that, the whole sense of me versus them or us versus them or black and white thinking starts to dissolve, and we start to have better leadership and better strategic thinking. Dun, 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 dun. I'm feeling very pumped about that. So I hope you can find your way through that. So here's a couple of questions to help you find your way to becoming a change agent. So a couple of questions. So around the need part, assess, first of all, are your needs currently being met? Where are you in your personal journey? Do you need to give yourself time and space to look after yourself and your own family first? And are you already being the change? So can you be the change first? So live authentically, live to your values. Or are you ready to lead the change? Those are good self-assessment questions. If you're trying to then formulate what is going to give my life meaning and purpose, think about the need. What are the social agenda issues you care about or have an interest in? Is it around the environment? Is it around animals? Is it around people? What is it for you? And where do you start? Also think about how connected are you? If you're not that connected, think about what groups or communities you can participate in. Start online if you're shy, and then be brave and go out to face-to-face gatherings. It's not that bad. People are very eager and welcome, and welcoming, I find. to invite people into their communities of whatever their community is, whether it's a practice community or a professional community. So be brave and get out there. The last piece is the meaning piece. How much personal joy and satisfaction will you get from championing this potential cause? All right, and the last sort of thing is decide and do something. Have a go at doing this, and I'd love for you to write a comment on the podcast page. All the notes and references will be up there, so at zoerouth.com/podcast/3. That's it for today. So it's the last three summary points. What you need to be an agent of change is you need to identify a need, make sure your own needs are met. Number two is network. Expand your connected network and be active there. And the third piece is meaning. So what is the spark that you are going to, what is the spark that's going to light you up? And be open to that, because sometimes it can hit you when you're not aware. It can catch you off guard. So that's it. Have a great week. Lead well, live well.